I wanted to graduate in May, and I knew I only had one school year to make all the ideas, like, give it the background of the research to back things up, build the exhibit, advertise for the exhibit, host the event, and write the thesis. So I knew it was going to be just a crazy year, but I was so excited about it. And so play is like the main point of the exhibit. It was called Seen and Unseen, Rediscover Play Through Art and Color. And play is something that was introduced to me by a professor in my undergrad. And it is how I believe, and how, you know, back, like, science to back it up, believes that creatives can find inspiration is through playing. So yes, I built an interactive art exhibit with, I believe it was 6 interactive stations and 5 non-interactive stations.
So welcome to Innovation Insights Podcast, where we explore the minds and stories of trailblazers, making the waves in innovation, creativity, and professional development. I am your host, Dr. Yolanda Sanders, and today we have an exceptional guest joining us, Anka Snyder. Anka is a dynamic creative force. She recently graduated with a master's in fine arts and graphic design from Iowa State University and also earned her bachelor's in fine arts in interior design, also from Iowa State University. She was our first Innovator of the Week featured by Innovation Insights. Her journey is an artistic exploration encompassing everything from graphic and interior design to fine arts, set design, fashion design, and sustainability. Anka's passion for design is matched by her commitment to making a positive impact, whether through her involvement in the renowned ISU fashion show, her role as a teaching assistant in the graphic design department at Iowa State, or through her own business, Anka. She advocates for the arts and firmly believes in the importance of sustainability and eco-friendly practices in art and everyday life. From renovating spaces to creating wearable art, Anka's work is a testament to her belief that creativity knows no bounds. Today, we will delve into Anka's unique journey, her master's thesis, the impact of art and design on individuals, the playful spirit.
Seen and Unseen is an interactive art exhibit focusing on the fusion of color and play. The exhibit encourages people to use play to prevent burnout in adult life.
Also explore
play is something that is not serious, non-functional, self-rewarding, and comes from a desire to change. It has incredible therapeutic.
Listeners, please help me welcome me to the Innovation Insights Spot. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here and to share my art journey with you and the listeners.
Oh, well, I'm so thrilled to have you here. I think I've known you since your first year at Iowa State, maybe. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I think it was when I met you when I was a waitress. Yeah. At Clouds Cafe, that was my sophomore year of college.
Okay, so maybe it's all very early on in your undergraduate journey with here at Iowa State. So, oh my goodness. Let's start with just a little bit about yourself, and how did you decide that you wanted to pursue art and design as your life journey?
As mentioned, I received my MSA and my BSA from Iowa State. You couldn't keep me away from Ames and Iowa State. I loved it there so much. But yeah, I, from a very young age, was always making something. I was always making jewelry or trying to see what materials could I use to make a piece of jewelry. Back in the early 2000s, I was making jewelry out of pop tabs and safety pins. Just trying to get creative. And yeah, when I was young, I had a hard time in school, like reading and math. It just wasn't my strong suit, but art and design and creativity was. And so I really had leaned into that. And yeah, I spent my childhood, helping my dad renovate our childhood bedrooms, the basement, the kitchen, whatever it was. And that's what kind of got me into interior design and seeing spaces change. And then I went to college for it. And then I went and got my MFA in graphic design to just keep expanding on it.
So what made you switch from interior design to graphic design for your MFA?
Yeah. Everyone always says things just fall into place and what's supposed to happen is going to happen. And I loved interior design for my entire life. And I did go to college for it, but my freshman year of college, and like I had mentioned, my dad was a really big part of my journey in interior design. And he had passed away my freshman year of college, which I really wanted to keep going with interior design, but it was a little bit more difficult. And I stuck with it and I loved it. I had so much fun. It was just a blast. And then I got into an internship. And to give a timeline, I started college in 2018 and then COVID hit in 2020. It was my sophomore year. And during COVID, I had started doing more graphic design work because there wasn't a lot of interior design work at the time because everywhere had shut down and there was residential work, but I was looking more to do commercial. And so I started doing more graphic design work. And then my junior year, I stuck with interior design, but realized my talents were more related to fine arts and graphic design. And then I had an internship the next summer of 21 before going into my senior year of college. And at my internship, I just didn't feel like I was fully meeting my potential as a creative in that internship. And I was really wanting to teach in the future in the college level. So I wanted to get my MFA. And yeah, so I went into graphic design because I felt as if fine arts more paired with graphic design. And 2 years later, here we are.
I also do want to give my condolences to the passing of your father, Tavis. I'm so sorry. I lost my father too, and I know that's very hard.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, big part of my creative journey and one of my motivators behind this whole process.
Yeah, well, I'm so proud of you, as you know, your whole family, I'm sure, is.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your master's thesis, again, I've known you, watched your work. You've been involved in some things in my former department, and we'll talk a little bit about that, about the fashion show, and just have seen you around campus and things over the years. But your master's thesis last spring, I was scrolling social media, and I was like, oh my goodness. And as I mentioned to you in our prep meeting, you inspired the Innovator of the Week program that we now do, because I saw the video of your exhibit for your master's thesis, and I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I need to feature this. And with social media, it's like in the moment. So I'm like, okay, what do I do? It was like a Friday night when I saw the video. I was like, okay, I'll create an Innovator of the Week. Okay, we're going to do Innovator of the Week right now. Okay, here's our first step. Literally, it was like a snap decision. And it was based really just inspired by your master's thesis. So if you would talk to us about your master's thesis and the journey and just tell us about it.
Yeah. First off, thank you. I remember getting the notification that I was Innovator of the Week. I was working on my small business, which I know we'll talk about later. And I said, I was just shocked. So it was such a surprise that evening. So thank you. Yeah. But yes, my thesis. So where do I want to start with this? So I originally was in the one-year program at Iowa State to receive my MA in graphic design, where I worked on more sustainable fashion and communicating that. And I had done this magazine, and it was a lot of work, and we can talk about it later when we talk about my sustainable fashion journey. But I decided very last minute that I wanted to do the MFA program, and I wanted to complete it in 2 years, which is a three-year program, so I squished it down at the 2 years. And I was talking to my committee, and I said, how do I make this magazine any bigger? And they said, well, you're going to have to figure out a way. And so I spent the summer toying with the idea of, like, how do I make this project bigger? And I was so stuck on the idea. And I was so focused on the outcome rather than the process to get to the outcome that I was just like, I was locked creatively. And over the summer, I went to the Color Factory in Chicago, which is an interactive art exhibit at a grand scale. And I highly recommend going. I was full of creativity afterwards. It's just this colorful place that really encourages play through different senses that we have. And so I had visited that and I took my pictures, I posted on social media, but I was thinking, like, how do we get something like this to Ames, where there's an incredible creative community that doesn't have something like this or maybe hasn't experienced it? And so I started, it was like day one of class. I knew, I was like, I'm going to do sustainable fashion. And then day two of class, I said, I'm going to build my own interactive art exhibit to bring to Ames, Iowa for my thesis. And it was something that it was such a big task. It was something that I just had to do. I couldn't necessarily think about it. I had over the summer because the clock was ticking and I wanted to graduate in May. And I knew I only had one school year to make all the ideas, like, give it the background of the research to back things up, build the exhibit, advertise for the exhibit, host the event, and write thesis. So I knew it was going to be just a crazy year, but I was so excited about it. And so play is like the main point of the exhibit. It was called Seen and Unseen, Rediscover Play Through Art and Color. And play is something that was introduced to me by a professor in my undergrad. And it is how I believe, and science to back it up believes, that creatives can find inspiration is through playing. So yes, I built an interactive art exhibit with, I believe it was 6 interactive stations and 5 non-interactive stations. And it took place in North Ames at Reliable Street, which is connected to Lockwood Cafe. And yeah, it was an amazing time. It was just full of color. The exhibit was up for a month. So opening night was on March 1st of this year. And then it was open for the whole month. And so I got to go and see like people interacting with it just on the daily. I actually had next to me, they're one of the pieces, I had a community art wall with paper that people could draw. There's markers and tape. And so I ended up making it into a book that's just full of everyone's art that they drew.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Very cool. So you said you had 6 stations. Could you take us through what each of those stations?
Yes. The first one, when I visited the Color Factory, let me explain the station. So the first one is, I called it the Connection Booth 1, and the title of it was I Lilac You a Lot. And so it was a green and pink table. One side was green, one was pink, and all the accessories on that side of the table matched the colors. And then it was divided by a piece of plexiglass. And then I had a recording, an audio, put onto a CD, and there was a CD player. And you put the headphones on at the same time. And then there was words on the table on both sides that said press play at the same time. And so each person, it was a partner experience, you pressed play. And then it took you through this audio that took you through, it was called a play contract. And so the play contract, each person had one. You had to, first, you started off with talking about or writing down a core memory the two of you have together. And then the second thing asked you to reflect back on 3 things you did as a child that you no longer do, or maybe you don't do as often. And then step 3 had you pause the audio and get up and create a 3-move handshake with your partner. The 4th step, there's 8 different play styles that a person can have. You have usually 1 distinct one and then 2 minor ones. And so those play styles are, the competitor, the collector, the artist, the joker, the storyteller, the director, the kinesthetic. Oh, and let me look. And the explorer. I don't think I said that one. Sorry, I looked back at one of my pictures. So there's 8 play styles. And the audio had you review the play styles, select the one that thinks most resonates with you, and then select the one that you think most resonates with your partner. And there was colored pencils. You had to fill it in with your favorite color and pick their favorite color and fill theirs in. And then lastly, color relates to emotion. And I had a little color chart that had each color and then its most distinctive emotion up on the plexiglass. And you had to pick your color aura. You picked like the 3 things that most you felt most resonated with your personality. And there was little circles. And then you filled in with the colored pencils your color aura. And then it had it sign and date the contract. So you were reminded to never stop playing because you were committed to it. That one was definitely, that was like my favorite booth. I felt like it's where I got to communicate play and color and the importance of it the most in the thesis. And the other ones weren't as elaborate, but still each different station, I tried to hit on a different or multiple play styles that were defined earlier. Then there's Connection Booth 2. It was a 4-person table divided by 4 colors. And I made these question cards that had a question to get to know the people you were playing with. And then on the back, it had, as you can see in my background, the slinky motif that is on all of the print media. So it was a slinky motif puzzle. So you would ask the question, everyone would discuss it, and then you would try to complete the puzzle together. And that one was called Greener Pastures because human connection and is just on the other side of the wall, talking to people and making jokes and telling funny stories and getting to know one another is one of the best ways that we can play. And it's a free way that we can play. It helps you get to know one another. Playing usually happens with more than one person anyways. So yeah, I really liked that table. And it was really rewarding on opening night to get to see so many varieties of groups, friends, family that had never met of mine getting to play this game together. But then there was Roll Out the Red Carpet, which was a photo booth area. And there was a neon sign behind it. It said, make it art. And that comes from a quote by Toni Morrison, where she said, your life is already artful, waiting, just waiting for you to make it art. It's been like the driving quote of my creative career in college. Ever since I made my Instagram profile for my art account, it's been like the bio, it's going to be in there forever. I just believe it's true. So I wanted that to have a piece in my thesis. And at the Color Factory and other interactive exhibits, it's just full of picture opportunities. So I wanted to make sure that people had a chance to capture a photo in like a designated spot. Next we have, it was called Local Color. And this was the community art wall, which was the book that I just showed you. There are tables set up and markers and tape and people could just draw whatever they wanted and then put it up on the wall, which people got so creative. As a creative myself, I think sometimes, like I said, I can get so caught up in the outcome that, yeah, people that maybe don't create as often, they just like made stuff. It was so cool to see. There's so many funny, clever things in this book. And I think I ended up having over 250 pieces on that wall, which was over after the month. It was super cool. People love to be a part of things. And so I'm glad that we got to have people put their own artwork up. Let's see. So that's 4. The 5th one was not all. Let's see. There's a reason we don't see the world in black and white. And this was 3 light bulbs coming down from the ceiling that was red, blue, and green. And when those colors cross over each other, it creates CMYK. And so it was just this giant white wall. And with those lights shining down, people could get in front of it and their shadows became CMYK colors. So it was a way for them to move their body, to exercise the kinesthetic. And yeah, people had so much fun. They took objects up to the wall to try to make different shadows. They were dancing. It was very trippy and it was very cool to see that. And then the last one was called See the Pink Elephant, which means to see something that's not really there. And I also didn't hide a pink elephant in this part of the exhibit, but everyone was looking for a pink elephant, which was very fun. I didn't mean to be sneaky, but everyone spent a lot of time in this part looking for a pink elephant. Because I don't think they, maybe that quote, that saying isn't as, maybe people don't know it. I should have maybe described it, is what I'm saying. So basically, this one is called Light Reactive Art, or See the Pink Elephant was Light Reactive Art. And this is, I created a collage of images. It was just this wall of different compositions I had made in RGB or CMYK color schemes. And then I had LED lights around the room, and there was a knob connected to the LED lights. So when you turn the knob, the lights would change. And because the LED lights were changing and the images were edited, when the lights changed, then the images and what was like showing would change. So if the red lights were on, then the red images would disappear, giving you a different composition. And so that one was super fun because people were looking at it longer than I think I expected because they were looking for the pink. So yeah, those were the six different stations, the interactive stations.
Incredible, incredible. And what I love about it is that it's, the stations were reflective, educational. Sometimes people think, oh, play, it has to be something physical. You have to, you're jumping up and down or something like that. But you really introduced the concept of play and how important that is. I used to teach a course. It was a graduate course over my career. And I was at both Colorado State and here at Iowa State on creativity. And it was like a self-help course for creatives, but with a lot of theory and a lot of reading and then a lot of making. Yeah, too. Yeah. We'd read Julie Cameron's book, The Artist Way. And she also has some great book. It's a great book. So I resonate with the idea of that contract of play. So that's really cool that you had people that came to view and participate in the exhibit to create that contract. That's really great. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Thank you. It was so fun. I invited friends from the fashion show and the workspace on campus and kids from or people I went to high school with, my family, undergrad friends, grad school friends. It was just this collage of people coming together all to play and to just have fun. And it was like everything I've ever wanted. And if I could do it every year, it was a lot of work, but I would do it. It was really fun. I'm extremely grateful for that experience in my life.
You never know. You might have an opportunity to do a permanent Tyvek's fiction or gallery space. I think that'd be really cool for a community. So just, we'll just put that out there to the universe and we'll see.
Yeah. What happens with it. I like it. I like that idea.
One thing with the master's thesis, there is that for the student, there's the reflective aspect of it. So what were some of the takeaways or findings that emerged from creating the exhibit and people's interaction with it? So what were some of those big takeaways?
Good question. Let's see. When it comes to the exhibit experience, I had a little station where people could take items. So I had provided little play slinkies and stickers and business cards and little posters for people to take. And by the end of the night, almost all of those were gone to exercise the play style of the collector. And because it was a lot of my friends and family that visited on opening night, I was seeing the slinky motif. It was on a bunch of my friends' water bottles and laptops. I would get into friends' cars and the slinky would be sitting in their cup holder. some kids would bring them to, or some of my classmates would bring them to class, the little slinkies, and they would have them. It would be like a fidget toy. So that's one takeaway is I hope this exhibit and this experience lives on in everyone's memories and photos, and they took what they learned at the exhibit and they're still applying it to their life. I hope that they're following the play contract. But I'm glad I gave them like a tangible thing to remind them of that. I have the sticker on the bottom part of my laptop, so every time I open it up, I'm reminded of that experience, even though it still lives on in my head. I'm glad I have a tangible reminder of it every time I go to work. And so the thesis part of the paper, I'm actually going to back up. When it comes to like making the actual part, like the actual exhibit, some takeaways that I had from that, like logistically and time management wise, is to be very organized and to make sure you're thinking through everything. Luckily, that's like just how my brain works. I had a lot of spreadsheets going all the time. If I knew I had to screw something together, I knew I needed to have this kind of screw, or needed to make sure my drill was charged, or everything was very planned out in my head. But had I not been so organized, I don't know how I would have possibly finished this project. So there was a lot of organization, like from the get-go, having a mind map going all the time. That's what I took like the first 2 months of the school year, just only on Miro doing my mind map, trying to figure out like, what do I want this to communicate? How do I want to do it? Where is it going to take place? Just a lot of diagramming like that. And I think when you have such a big project like this, it's important to be organized in that way. It's great to saying that you're going to do something, but having the organization and the commitment to the ideation part of the project is really important, was a big takeaway.
I love that, because the thought, or the stereotypical thought about creative people, is that they're not organized. Mm-hmm. And you've just dispelled that belief that, yes, creative people are organized. They have to be, and very organized, as they're oftentimes juggling multiple things at a time, and that they do use organizational methods.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, it's super important to be organized. And I think, and everyone works differently, but for me, even though it was summer and I didn't have a job, I still had my to list every single day to make sure that I was doing the projects that I needed to work on, or taking the steps on the things that I needed to work on, or using Trello or Google Calendar. I'm constantly updating those to stay on task, because I feel if I don't do that, then the things will still get done, but maybe not in the time that I need them to get done. It's right. Better to have the set point. And yeah, it's what I've always recommended to the students that I've taught in the classes and through fashion show, is to just be super organized. I feel like that's a very big takeaway as a creative to have.
I don't know. Why don't we segue into your work in the fashion show? We can come back to some other topics, but you mentioned the fashion show. Iowa State has a student-run fashion show, and I know that you've been involved with that. Tell us about your involvement over the years with the fashion show.
Yes. So I remember my freshman year, I went to the career fair, and I saw the fashion show, and I used to be very shy. I'm very timid. And I saw it, and I was like, that looks like something that I would really be interested in. And because of circumstances I mentioned at the beginning, I had missed the application. And I just wanted to focus on design and getting into my program. And then sophomore year, what I thought would be the busiest time of my life, which ended up not being, but getting into interior design, I was so busy with studios that I said, I don't think I have time to dedicate to fashion show. But by my junior year, I thought, oh, I only have 2 years of college left. If I want to do this, I want to do it now. And even though it was during COVID, it was fall of 2020, I applied and I got into the set design team, which was, the first choice and kind of the only one I really wanted to do the set design for. I felt like it was a part of interior design that reflected the fine art side of me. So it felt like a perfect happy medium of creating a space, but using fine arts to do while using technical design skills. So I served on the committee that year, and we had it outdoors at Ryman Gardens, and we built, I think it was like 60. It was, there are these triangles that the models all just walked under, and it was, it was just so fun. It was so fun to work as a team together with ideating ideas and materials and how to make it sustainable. And then seeing this group of students all work together to create an outcome, I felt like it was the first time that had really happened in my design school experience. And it was just so incredibly rewarding that I knew then the next year that I wanted to be a director and lead that experience and help facilitate that for other students. And so then my senior year, I helped it was the Resurgence show in 2022. It was the first year it was back at Stevens after 2 years. And that one was probably, it was the most rewarding experience of my college career in undergrad. It's where I've met two of my best friends. I'm still best friends with them today. We talk almost every day. So it's just an amazing opportunity to meet people, to get to be with other creatives in different disciplines. Like one, I was at that point, I was still an interior designer, but leaning towards graphic. We had architects, we had interior designers, graphic designers, industrial designers. And yeah, everyone just brought what they could to the team and we collaborated and we made just some of the coolest sets that I'm so happy to be a part of. So there is that one. And then I took a year off, my first year of grad school, because there was a lot of movement at the time with going from the MA to the MFA. But then my last year, my two friends that I mentioned earlier, they were both doing it. And so then all three of us got to be directors this last spring. And it was a lot while trying to finish my thesis and doing the exhibit and writing the paper. But it was something that I knew I wanted to do one more time. And I would regret if I didn't do it. And I don't like living life with any regrets. So yeah, I took more of a back role this last year. I was still a director, but I was more in charge of the finances and all of the purchasing while still helping at all of the set builds and doing that and leading the team. But I wanted some other people to get a chance to be like the head director. But it was still so much fun. It was so rewarding. Just a very, to quote myself, just a very rewarding experience. I love it. It's one of the things I'll cherish most about my time at Iowa State.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I was, I think, at the first couple shows that you were involved in, and amazing sets. So this great work and great collaboration and teamwork, as you say, too. And so much the idea, too, is that creatives can't collaborate or don't work or play well with others. But you're speaking to the project management and then also realizing when to step back and let others have some leadership too. So that just speaks to your maturity as a leader and an innovator too. So
Thank you. Also taking a step back, because finances, it's a whole thing we have to learn as adults and as creatives. You can't just buy whatever you want. You have to think with innovation on how to reuse materials or to find a cheaper material or try to make it more sustainable. And so I felt like it was a little bit more creative thinking that I had to do in this and in this experience. And yeah, it was, I'm glad I took the step back and I did that role because it was something that I hadn't really done for the fashion show or like a group project before. Yeah, it benefited everyone in the long run, I think, doing it that way.
Oh, what great experiences. And you know, as you mentioned, finances and your project management experience, I know that you have your own business in the same Anka, right? Is that your first name?
Yes. It's named that because I used to play soccer and there's the famous soccer players, Mia Hamm and Marta, and they're just known by their one names. And so my parents used to write on our cars and that the car paint that said Mia, Marta, Anka. And so they always thought I'd be a soccer star, but my business is now just named Anka because of that, because just a one name brand.
Cool. Cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, tell us about your business, because all the skills that you've been talking about, I'm sure they play into your business too.
Yes. So I mentioned earlier that I've always made jewelry. It's always been my way of expressing myself. I was pretty quiet as a kid, but I could wear maybe louder jewelry and express myself that way. And I've always loved earrings and necklaces and rings, as we can see. I started seeing a need for more like wild earrings in my own life that I thought, well, if I'm doing it, like, why not make some money off of it and sell it to people? Everyone always compliments my earrings, so why not give people the opportunity to have them? I had just graduated my undergrad and I was working as a gardener at Ryman Gardens at Iowa State. And so I had all the evenings free. I got off work at 2, and yeah, I just started going back to my roots. I got all my jewelry supplies out and I started to make earrings with funky charms and different beads. And it's fun to look back at those pictures now to see like where I've started versus where I'm at now. And it's very cool to see the growth. And I think that's a reflection of what I've learned in school, but also what I've challenged myself to keep getting better and growing as a creative. But yeah, the business. I started that, yes, in 2022. And I was selling on Instagram. And it was mostly just friends and family buying it, which was great. It was giving me so much motivation to keep going. And then I started participating on campus at Art Mart through the MU Gallery, where I would set up my displays and have my jewelry and little business cards, which happened to change every 6 months because I would have a new idea for a design. And this last year, I've been trying to grow on social media by making TikToks and reels. And it's always very exciting when an order from a stranger comes in, just to know that like someone who doesn't know me or is friends with me wants to support me and buy my work. It's so exhilarating to do and to get those emails when I do get an order. So yeah, all summer I've been working on growing my online brand, which is a challenge of its own. I feel like most of the work in my last 6 years has been pinning up my work on the walls on campus or doing the exhibit or the fashion show where there's going to be a crowd and there's going to be a reaction to it. Where when you're posting on social media, there's things you do. There's hashtags and interacting with other accounts, but you're just putting it out there, hoping that it resonates with someone. So it's been definitely a different approach to art and design that's been more challenging, but it's been very fun to take on that challenge. And to keep growing the business, I've been doing some markets. So I had one in Des Moines this summer, and next week I have one in Chicago. And the week after that, I have one in Iowa City. So I feel like there's somewhat movement and momentum happening. And I really hope from those experiences to gain some more online interactions and engagement.
Well, make sure that we link your website also to all of the podcast episodes and promotions and things too. Oh, my goodness. And is it mainly jewelry still, or are you selling other products or designs?
Yes. It's mainly jewelry. I have tried a lot of different things. I've done charms. Let's see, a year and a half ago, I made, for a studio project through school, I made 150 different acrylic earrings with acrylic charms. So I have the pair of those in now. And I loved those. I felt like that's when my brand really started to take off. And now I don't have access to a laser cutter anymore. So I've had to readjust. But with my earrings, like I said, I like having one-of-a-kind earrings. I market my stuff. Some people know that when they buy a pair of earrings, there's not a duplicate of them. It's everything is one-of-a-kind. I don't make two of the same thing. So that's with the earrings. I make necklaces too. I'm really trying to get more into that because I get a lot of compliments on my necklaces. So for my upcoming markets, I've really been focusing on necklaces and earrings. And doing research throughout the summer, it's known, or I guess it's told the artists that they need to have high market or high priced items. And I don't charge a ton for my earrings. So I've been trying to do more paintings that you can see behind me, to sell to try to get a little bit more revenue happening to help support the jewelry. And then also crocheted items. I love a crocheted tote bag. So in the evenings when I'm watching TV with my mom, I'll crochet some tote bags. But yeah, so earrings, necklaces, paintings, and crocheted pieces are the things I focus on most for the business.
I love it. I used to be a crocheter and knitter, big crocheter. So I love that. Yay. We will do what we can to support your business and share it out there, because that's wonderful. And you mentioned sustainability throughout your work. And I know that you've done some fashion related pieces related to sustainability too. So yeah, tell us about that. And
one of a kind things or sustainable fashion is something that's always been really important to me. In my time in college, I took a class where it was introduced. We had to watch a documentary called The True Cost, and it talked about every aspect of fashion and the fashion or sustainable fashion and fast fashion in that industry. And as an interior designer, I was like, how can I make a difference with fast fashion as an interior designer? And I was thinking, okay, you wear clothes every day. So I try to thrift all of my own clothing. I try to upcycle things. If it has a hole, I try to sew it myself. I try to make things last as long as they can. And luckily with my jewelry always changing, I feel like that can change my outfit looks without having to buy new clothing all the time. So that's how I do it in my own life. And then in interior design at the time, I tried focusing on sustainable materials in my proposed projects. And in graphic design in my thesis, almost everything that was in the exhibit was reused materials from past projects of mine. Like underneath the tables that I built is a painting of a project about sustainable fashion that I did my first year of school. Materials for the thesis were then donated to the fashion show for the set design. They've been reused in my small business. So that's how I try to implement sustainability into my own work in those disciplines. But going back to fashion, yes, it was during COVID. I was cleaning out my space in my bedroom because I just had so many supplies everywhere. And I saw all this old fabric from different like pillows that I've sewn or different projects I've attempted. I'm really no seamstress, but I like to practice and try to make my own things. But I had all this fabric that I couldn't really donate, or old clothing that had stains or paint on it that couldn't be salvaged. So I just had this bucket of fabric that if I donated it, it would have been thrown away. And I didn't want to be a part of the problem with that. But what I did, I cut it all up into really tiny pieces. And then I took some cotton fabric, and then I sprinkled all of the little pieces of fabric into that. And then I put this mesh fabric organza over the top. And then I quilted the textile, and I ended up making my own jacket that's pretty heavy. It's a pretty warm piece of clothing. And I made my own textile out of my old materials. And I've done it a few times. So that ended up being in the fashion show in 2022. And my first year of grad school, I really focused on communicating sustainable fashion and talking about fast fashion in my projects. So I did a tote bag project. It was called Spread Your Message. And I thrifted shirts that might not have been purchased. I got them from Goodwill bins, where I paid by the pound, got my fabric. And then I made tote bags out of this fabric and then stamped Be An Outfit Repeater on that. I carved my own stamp for it. And then I handed those bags out on campus. I think I made like 20 bags, but I didn't use all of the fabric for those bags. So I kept that extra fabric. I cut it up again, and I ended up making a poncho out of the fabric from the bags. So I have a zero waste poncho. And then, like I said, I crochet a lot. So I have a lot of yarn scraps when you trim off your ends. And I saved those, and I made a zero waste purse out of that this summer. So I'm always trying to find a way to save supplies and then scraps. How can they be salvaged? How can they be made into something else? And I've also, another note, I did that with leftover materials for the fashion show. I didn't talk about that during, that's the wood used from the 2021 show outside was then used to create the shapes that we built for the 2022 show that was back inside. And we had all these scrap pieces of wood that we were going to throw away. And I ended up making 3 mosaic pieces out of them. And then from that, I made them into tables to be used. So always trying to find a way to use the materials that are in front of you rather than going and buying more can save the earth and save your bank account.
Yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. I did not realize that. Yeah, the sets from the show at Rhyming Gardens were then reused for the next year. Oh, love it. Absolutely love it. Like, yeah. I know that you are, you know, looking to work in the industry. You want to talk about what type of areas you're thinking about industry-wise? And then we'll talk about your goal, your long-term goal to teach,
too. Yes. Oh, man, when it comes to industries, as you can tell, I have interest in every aspect of art and design, which is a blessing and sometimes a curse when it comes to thinking about what, or figuring out what you want to do or what I want to do. But I see it as a blessing because I feel like my door could be opened to a lot of different aspects of art and design. Right now, so I'm solely working on the small business right now, but I'm very eager to get out into the world and to meet more people and learn more in industry. With the small business and running it online being my goal, I'm right now looking at more like social media and advertising jobs so I can gain more insight on how to do that at the professional level. I'm also looking at graphic design jobs whenever I'm looking on the job websites on LinkedIn, ZipRecruiter, Indeed. If a set design job comes up in a major metropolitan city, I always apply because if I could be a set designer every day, that would be a dream. Being an environmental graphic designer really pairs well with the interior design world and getting to create the branding and then implement that into the interior space. So like I said, there's a lot of different tabs open on my laptop of different genres of different design jobs. But right now I'm looking at my dream is to live in Chicago. Well, it's always been my dream. I'm having a little bit of a hard time getting some footing in the industry there, but that's okay. My door is always open to going back to Iowa to be in the Des Moines area or to Kansas City. I think they have a great community down there. It's very cool. And Chicago will always be there and it'll always be the dream. And I know someday I'll be a creative up in the big city. So yeah, there's always a lot happening in my brain about jobs, but yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, that's okay. No, there's just a lot always happening. I'm very eager to get started on it. Yeah.
Just a call out to our audience. Yes, we have someone here who's, you know, looking and is extremely talented and has comes with many skills. The industry will be very lucky to have you in it. And our people in Chicago, Kansas City, Des Moines.
No, thank you.
Look her up. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Are you ready to work? I'll have to read.
No, I just said I'm ready to work. I'm excited. Tinger, to the listener.
You are a worker. You are a worker. You are a worker. Our listeners, again, you have some connections out there. Let us get contact with her. Also, we've talked about your desire to teach eventually too. Tell us about what has spurred that desire to be in the classroom.
Yeah, being a teacher has always been my dream. I guess I shouldn't say always, but for a very long time, I adored my high school art teacher. And I would see him working and I would think, I can see myself down the road doing that. Never something that I would see myself doing right out of college. But I always thought, I'm going to do that someday. And I think through my experiences working at the workspace on campus, which is a place that helps teach art to the community, the fashion show, teaching students like I said, organization, time management, material choices, how to use power tools. And then also being a TA in graphic design, we're teaching them more how to do Adobe programs and compositions and color theory. I feel like I've gotten the experience of doing it. And whenever I do it, it's like time passes and I don't even know it. Like, I just know that teaching students and people how to do art is like one of the things that I'm meant to do. And I had a few professors in college who taught me work-life balance and the art of play. And I was so grateful for those professors. And I had more like one-on-one relationships with them. And I just thought, but what if all design students had a professor like this who got to show them the art of play and show them that playing then helps infuse more creativity into your design projects if you just take time to play and step away from your projects. So whether that is at the college level or at high school or maybe elementary, I want to teach that to students because I've been so lucky to have those professors who did teach me those things. Yeah. And maybe it'll happen sooner than I think, but I definitely want to get out into the industry a little bit and to gain some knowledge in the professional world and also take a break from academia, even though I love it my whole heart. I just need to step away from it. Yeah. And so who knows when it'll happen, but I know someday I will be a teacher in some capacity.
And even within industry, you'll have the opportunity to teach and mentor a person, learn from people that you work with. So that's a great value that you have. And it's just going to be fun to see what you do with all of this talent. As we wrap up, I'd like to ask the question that we ask every guest on Innovation Insights, and that is, how do you define innovation?
How do I define innovation? I think there's a whole world of ideas online that we see every day. And I think we can remake those things. We can see what's trending. We can make that. But I think true innovation comes from when we have an idea and we execute it with our own voice and our own designs and our own mind. I think it can be easy to look at what others are doing and try to do the same. But when you are true to yourself and you make and create what is you, I think that's what innovation is.
I like that. Thank you for that definition. And thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate hearing more of your insights, learning about what you're doing. And I feel like you're going to be such an inspiration to many people that are working in the creative fields and also are business owners too. So thank you for that. So our guests, thank you for joining us. And if you want to learn more about Anka's work, visit her website. It's www.ankasnider.com. And we'll make sure the links and we'll put a little QR code at the end of this episode too for you to find her. You can explore her portfolio there, connect with her directly, offer her some career opportunities too. Shameless plugs there. But also to stay up to date in our project endeavors. We really appreciate everyone for tuning in. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, leave a review, share it with others. Your support will help us continue to bring you inspiring stories and individuals that are innovators like Anka. So I am Dr. Yolanda Sanders, and I'm signing off until next time. So I encourage you to keep innovating, keep dreaming, and keep making a difference.